At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Chase. And today I am predicting WWE Survivor Series War Games with my pal from Grapple, Maddie Edwards. Maddie, how are you?
I'm great, Steph. How are you? You okay?
I'm good. I am in Chicago. It's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yep, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, two non-Americans coming here and working on Thanksgiving. That's what it's all about, right?
honorary Americans, though. We all love it. All USA, of course.
We have both consumed so many American snacks in our lives.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Has infected our bloodstream, and we are pretty much Americans.
For sure.
But yeah, it's Survivor Series weekend. Survivor Series coming from Vancouver. I'm sadly not going because I'm out of Canada now, but I think even if I was in Canada, like I was saying to Maddie before we went on, like Vancouver's really far from Toronto. Like me and Maddie are used to things being like pretty close together in our part of the world. But
we think 2 hours is long, definitely. Yeah, 2 hours travels long over here.
Yeah, when you're going from Liverpool to London, you're like, oh God, that's a big journey. But nothing like what it's like over in North America. But you know, I thought, like, Maddie, that you'd be a great person to come on and predict Survivor Series because nobody I know ever loves WWE, the Fed, more than you. And one person in particular, Mr. Roman Reigns, and one storyline in particular, the Bloodline storyline. So how hyped are you for this War Games match?
First and foremost, Steph, thanks for the invite to be on here. I am honoured to be on here, and hopefully I do the Fed some justice with the Thanksgiving edition. But but Roman, like, this storyline, Steph, for me, and I know it's been, you know, quoted all out there on social media, on everything you consume, but it's just been the greatest for me. Like, it really is, you know, 4 years deep into this, you know, it's just had me hooked since day one. Like, and Roman Reigns, like, I've been a fan since, you know, he's pretty much come into the company with the Shield and obviously the failed babyface run. I can admit that now, Steph. Now he's changed his character around and found a new skin for himself. But yeah, he's just the best, Steph, for me. And whatever he does, I'm invested. And once again, this storyline's just been unbelievable. I'd say 4 years in, we're still going strong. We're still main eventing pay-per-views with it. It's just unbelievable stuff.
Is it? I know you're a huge Steve guy.
Yeah.
Just one word, Steve.
All caps.
Is this your favorite storyline of all time, or is it your favorite storyline as an adult?
You know, it's my favorite storyline of all time. Like, I always battle with myself where Roman's just coming up to Steve, but I can't quite just put him above Steve. Steve will always be the greatest of all time. But this storyline for me, Steph, as I say, every Saturday, like, I've got my wife involved now. She's even into it. Like, every Saturday morning when we get up, we just put the Bloodline segments on before we even watch SmackDown fully. Like, we just that invested into it. It's just like, it is. It's consumed my life. It really, really has. Like, I'm just love it so much.
I love that. I love that you've got Steph watching as well. Let's, who's her favorite?
Oh, she loves Jay. She loves Jey Uso, like she absolutely loves him, you know. I think because I love Roman so much, she'll never admit it that she likes Roman, but she's a Jey woman for sure.
We can't have you both fighting over Roman. That would be really bad.
No, we can't.
Well, I've really enjoyed the Bloodline storyline as well. And I love how far they've gone with it and stuck with it, because I think a lot of time in years past, the criticism was like that they didn't stick with things or they blew off things too soon or whatever. And this feels like a proper storyline, something proper, like plotted out that they're invested in and they're staying on course. So I love that. But on SmackDown a few days ago, like they just upped the ante for me because CM Punk has joined Roman Reigns' team. So I can't wait. It was this time last year when I was predicting Survivor Series and I was really like trying to hedge on whether CM Punk would come back because so many people were saying no. But the thing was, like, I was certain he was coming back, like completely certain. I was in Chicago. I was ready for it. But I didn't want to fully commit to say like, oh, 100% he's coming back, because I think I was just scared of people being like, oh, she was so stupid going to Chicago for Survivor Series and our man didn't even turn up. And like, that is my favorite live experience ever was when Survivor Series ended last year and I was in the stands and I was right next to Zach Hadon, my good friend from Brass Ring Media, and it just looked like it was all over. And all the other media people left to go to the scrum. And I was just standing there, like, and then all of a sudden it hit. Like, and
amazing.
All the seats around me were like free because everyone had left to go to the scrum. And I was just standing there, like, I still feel like it's happening. Like, I still feel, and it hit. And I just, like, I was screaming. I phoned Benno, like, before I even left the arena. Like, it was the best, like, live experience I've ever had, because I wasn't, you know, able to see him go to AEW because of the pandemic, but then I got to see him return to WWE, and it was so good. So, 1 year on, I've loved Punk's run in WWE so much this year. Even when he was injured, he made that work. It's been It's been a great year.
But that, even that, sorry to say, but even that, Steph, like, I've watched that so many times. It's come back, because obviously on the same show as well, you had Randy Orton's come back after 18 months, which is a monster pop, which is completely forgotten about. Like, we've seen on that backstage video this week that the WWE Gold Channel put on.
Yeah, but and I've watched, said old Randy would have been pissed.
Oh, yeah, he definitely would have, but he's mature now. He's mature, but what I was saying is, I've watched that so many times, that return of CM Punk on YouTube or on the network, but I can only imagine being there like yourself, Steph. I can only imagine the goosebumps you got, like.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, like, I know you're a big Randy guy. I've never been a Randy guy, so Randy's return for me. It was also, kind of spoiled by his wife, I'm certain, went like live on Instagram like before the match, like from the front row, and it was like, okay, well, thanks for spoiling that, you know.
Spoiler there for sure.
but it was a good like little red herring too, because I think it made a lot of people think that Punk wouldn't return, like, if you're doing Randy on the same show.
And also, we had R-Truth retain as well, Steph, earlier on in the night. So there were three retains that night.
Yeah. I can't say I remember that. I can't say I remember that. I may have even been in the bathroom. I don't know. Well, guys, we have a great five-match card to predict. And in the chat, let us know your predictions. And before we get to it, of course, we are going to hear from our wonderful sponsors, betonline.ag, courtesy of our Fightful overlord, Sean Rossap.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling? Yeah, you can at betonline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with betonline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline.ag for your Survivor Series bets. Maddie, I'm ready to get into it. And yes. I'm going to kick us off with the United States Championship match. We have LA Knight versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I say this all the time. Well, only when he comes up, to be honest, that at one point Shinsuke was my favorite wrestler in the whole world. And his theme song was my ringtone. And his Wrestle Kingdom entrance with the dancing ladies is still my favorite entrance of all time. But then I don't think things have been that great for him in recent years, but it feels like he's always been constantly rebooted, you know, as well. So it feels like at least Triple H still has a lot of like faith in him. And I really did like when he came back the other week, and like I thought like he looked good. I'm intrigued by it, but at the same time I feel like they've done this before. And I think LA Knight, he has been a great United States champion. He's had some great moments in it. And I feel like this match is maybe coming a little quickly as far as what they could do together. But I'm intrigued by it. How are you feeling on this one, Maddie?
Yeah, I'll be honest, Steph, I'm quite the opposite. I've never been a Nakamura guy, but as you say, Triple H has found this like holding spot for him, like given the Seth Rollins feud last year, Cody Rhodes feud on TV. Mm-hmm. So he's that guy that like you put him in there with your stars, like they're doing with LA Knight here. But I mean, I was at the house show a couple of months back in Liverpool, and this was one of the matches on there. So they must have been getting the match down. Doing the tests, like for obviously the feud coming up. So I like it in that respect that they've obviously been working on the road together. But
was it good?
You know what? It was okay. It was given a lot of time as well. It was like 15 to 20 minutes. So it was quite long. And it was actually built up to quite a decent match. And as you say there, LA Knight, I mean, he's got to be one of the most commended wrestlers like on the whole roster for me, because in this era where you've got like all these baby faces and he's one included, he stayed over. He has stayed, the fans have never even swayed with him. He has stayed over.
Even when he hasn't ever, like, it took him so long to actually achieve something, like, as far as the title or whatever, he stayed over.
He has, and to me, and that's where I'm a bit torn, because it's like the Cody thing to me, which obviously I'm glad we don't get to talk about Cody in a way, Steph, on this show for sure, but it's like he's got the belt. Like, the chase was great because the fans stayed behind him. And, of course, they're still with him. With this US title, but this is what I'm saying. Once he's there, this is what he's getting given. Like feuds with Nakamura. I'm not putting Nakamura down, but you want something a bit more to sink your teeth into. But once again, he should ride through Nakamura, and then we'll see what happens with him come Royal Rumble WrestleMania. But once again, he stayed over, so you've got to tip your hat to.
I do, as far as predictions go, I feel like to me, the Royal Rumble is what's making me wonder, like, if they want to put him in the Rumble, not as a champion, not that he realistically has any chance of winning, because I just don't think he does. But I do wonder, like, if they want him in there for that, you know, without a title, maybe to set up something in that match. But I feel like this is the first of maybe at least two matches with Shinsuke. So I could see the title swapping hands at some point, but I don't know if they'll do it in the first match. But I'm gonna I don't know if I want to play it safe though, because I think the other one, I think we'll get at least one title change on the show. I'm gonna go wild and support my former favorite and say that I'm gonna predict an upset with Nakamura, but LA Knight takes it back off him before the Rumble, maybe on the Saturday night's main event show or something like that. They do something else. But yeah, I'm going to make a wild prediction and say Shinsuke Nakamura, if you put your money on it, don't blame me. What about you, Maddie?
I've got to go LA Knight, Steph. I can't see. I agree that it's surprising that it made this pay-per-view, this match. Mm-hmm. I thought this would be a SmackDown match for sure a couple of weeks more down the line. So I was shocked when it got announced. But I can't see anything but an LA Knight win. And maybe Shinsuke, you know, gets a beat down after the match, maybe a missed after the match to set up a rematch that way. But no, I can't see Shinsuke winning the title here. LA Knight for me.
Okay, up next, we have for the Intercontinental Championship, a triple threat, the champion Braun Breaker versus Sheamus versus Ludwig Kaiser. Maddie, how do you feel about the young Braun Breaker? Are you, can you see potential with him?
Oh, for sure, Steph. Like, even in NXT, where maybe his character, and that's the whole point of NXT, you're finding, developing. And even then, you could just see it. It's raw talent. It is. It's, that's the word for Braun Breaker, is raw. So then, you know, once he got out of NXT and he was positioned as a babyface, maybe had a little heel turn towards the end, didn't he? But I love him as this tweener now. He's found his absolute calling for me. He should be this character forever. Just goes after heels, faces. He's got that, like, I'll say that word aura a lot on this air show, Steph, sorry, but he's got that aura and he can just go after anyone. And I think he's so believable as well. And the fans are behind him as well now. So, yeah, he ticks every box for me.
Yeah, I think that a great success of Triple H is how he's used these NXT guys. Yeah. You know, a few years ago, we would have been worried about someone like Braun coming up. And he's definitely someone that I see so much potential in, like a real future in as a main eventer. I love the tweener stuff as well, because he is kind of, you know, he has like a jock factor and a cool factor. It's kind of like hard, you know, to know if you like actually would like him. Like there is something about him that's like a little in between, and I'm glad they like play up on that. I think that Sheamus is a great veteran to have in there for someone like Braun, because Sheamus can take
it's the reliable Steph Sheamus. Like he always has been. I'm glad he's finally getting his flowers in all circles, because at his age as well, late 40s, he's always been reliable, always give you the solid added a match. Sheamus
100%. Sheamus can take a beating and he can dish out a beating as well. And I think Ludwig Kaiser, he's been perfectly like serviceable to me. He's not like someone I'm like really excited about. But I think the combination of these three, I do think are going to make a really good hard-hitting match. It'll be interesting to see like whereabouts they position in the card. But for this one, I think Braun Breaker absolutely retains. I don't see them taking the title off him. What about you, Maddie?
Yeah. Totally agree there, Steph. Can only see one winner, Braun Breaker. As you say, it will be a great match, though. This, the given time, and I think the fans will lap this up because the work will be so good.
Yeah, it's gonna be a noisy match. I think the fans will really, really enjoy it. All right, up next, we're gonna go to the World Heavyweight Championship match, Gunther versus Damian Priest. I think that they've built this really well, and I do think it's been kind of hard to build things against Gunther sometimes, because he seems so dominant. He seems like Roman was like an unbeatable champion, just someone that you can't see them, you know, taking the belt off. But I think that they've done really good, considering it's something like that they're running back, and I think people are maybe waiting for Gunther to do other stuff. And Damian Priest, I think for his title reign and everything with the Judgment Day, he's someone that's really risen to the occasion, and it's nice to see him like not drop down the card or anything, like be put back in this position. I think he's someone that's like liked a lot, and I don't know. I just absolutely love Gunther. I'm just waiting for Gunther to have a big mania moment. And where do you stand on Gunther, Maddie?
No, I was big on the SummerSlam match between these, because I like the way, like, we're actually seeing Gunther a bit vulnerable.
Yeah.
He couldn't have went on forever as, like, this big imposing figure. We've seen it so much, Steph. And I'm big on people developing the character and showing a bit a different side to them. So I was big on that SummerSlam match where Priest was like, all right, if you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you harder. And they had a great match. And I loved, obviously, the finish with Finn Balor and stuff like that, which tied into it, which plays into this match where Priest, like, I had you beat if it wasn't for Finn. So he's all confident. And Gunther, since losing to Cody as well, has got that bit of doubt in his mind as well. So I'm loving this side of Gunther, and I fully expect Gunther to rise to the occasion here and finally overcome Priest, which will just make that character even better going forward. So, yeah, this has been built up so well, and a great callback, like you said there.
Yeah, I do think it's been well built. I think they've built on their previous encounter well. I just... it is one where I just can't see anything but Gunther retaining. I think just because I don't really think them going back to Priest with the belt really makes sense. But I think it's gonna be good. And I'm picking Gunther. You're picking Gunther as well.
Yeah, and I think this will be once again another just the two lads throwing bombs at each other. This will be a great match. The fans will be into it, but Gunther to retain 100 million percent death.
I can't wait till you guys talk about it on Grapple and we can hear about how skinny Gunther is.
But once again, though, that's why you can't have him as well as this big imposing figure, because Priest is bigger than him, Steph. So you've got to change it up when he fights a bigger guy. It's just standard behavior. Yeah.
Gunther is one of the most like amazing transformations from someone like on the indie scene, international indie scene to WWE, not just how he looks physically, but like, I don't know, just seeing him back in the day doing stuff over in the UK, doing WXW, and then seeing him do something like the exchange he had with Goldberg. It's like, wow, what a journey this guy's been on. Like, it's one of the most
one of Triple H's best success stories, Steph, is Gunther, the way he's protected them, and he has been presented so well. And obviously, look at him now. He's just, he is brilliant. He is.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We have next the women's War Games match. We have, let me get everyone that's in this. Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Naomi, Io Sky, and Bayley versus the Judgment Day. That's Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, Nia Jax, Tiffany Stratton, and Candice LeRae. So this match, interesting kind of build to it there. We saw, was it on Raw that Jade Cargill, she's...
Smacked that, right, Steph? This is like, this match is like, this is one of Triple H's greatest strengths as well as a booker, the way he takes these stories and brings them all. Because I know people always say as well, like the old, you know, gimmick pay-per-views, oh, it's Hell in a Cell this month, we've got to book this. Yeah. Oh, it's War Games, we've got to book this. But this has been built well because you've got so many stories. Like you say there, you got the Who Done It with Jay Cargill last week on SmackDown, which obviously ties Naomi and Bianca into this. You've got the Io Sky and Bayley as well with the damage control law going into it and Bianca not trusting Bayley. You've got the Judgment Day stuff with Rhea going into there, and you've also got Nia Jax with Tiffany Stratton and Candice LeRae. So you've got all these stories going on at once in the same match. It's great stuff, the way it's been built, Steph. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too. They've really, I do think one of, when we were coming up to Survivor Series, there was a question of whether there was something with the women that you could do and make it make sense. But as you've said, like, they've absolutely managed that, because we've spent so much time, like, especially with the Bianca and Naomi, and, you know, Bianca not trusting Bayley, like accepting Bayley, all the damage control stuff. Then Rhea Ripley is someone that you had to get in this match. And then her with like Liv Morgan and Raquel, got the whole Nia Jax and Tiffany stuff going on. I do think that they've done a good job of building it. And I think it's going to be really good. There's enough really good workers in there. Mostly on the babyface side, that are going to be able to like pull something off. And someone like Io Sky, like, you're always waiting for her to do.
Oh, she'll always do the spot off the top of the cage. Yeah, 100%. She will do a spot. Yeah.
Who do you think is going to win? There's so much going into this, and so much that could happen. And
this is tough. This is a tough one.
It is a tough one. Who do you think has got this?
That's to say, this is probably the toughest match to call on the night. But I'm only going for the logic of who I think will win the main event. So I'll flip it over with the women's cage. So I'll go, I think the heels will win this somehow. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Nia Jax gets the fall on somebody. I don't know. I can just see, as I say, you've got all the stories going on, but the focus has been, for me, especially as a SmackDown guy, on Nia and Tiffany and Candice LeRae at this minute. So I can just see Nia Jax standing tall at the end of this match.
I'm going to go for the face is winning this one, and I'm going to go for Rhea Ripley getting the win over Liv Morgan.
Okay.
So that they can completely put an end to this by the Rumble. Yeah. Like, maybe on the Saturday night's main event show or something like that. But I can see this happening. I do hope that there's more, like, I hope that Triple H doesn't, like, kind of fall into that pattern of booking where it's like, you know, if the heel women do this, then the face men have to, like, that kind of thing. So
I just always think that those step when there's two war games or two rumbles or two elimination chambers as they've been, I'm just autopiloted to think that no matter who's in charge, that's how my brain works. But all I'll say about this as well, similar to the men's later, you'll have loads of questions with each of them stories coming out of it. So that'll be the best thing about it for me.
Well, they need to like pull the trigger on this Nia and Tiffany stuff. But as I've said every time that Tiffany is mentioned on any of these shows, like I do see her having a briefcase till past Christmas just because of capitalism and people buying those briefcases.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, Steph.
So once Christmas is over, then I can finally talk about Tiffany cashing in. But God, they have made her feel way too many times, or look like she's going to do it and then not do it. Like it's getting like pretty silly. But I think that once Christmas is over, maybe Tiffany will finally the cash in there. All right, well, on to the main event. This is the one, Maddie. This is what I wanted you to talk about. The men's war game match. So we have Roman Reigns.
I'm glad you said them first, Steph. Sorry to put in, but glad you said them first.
I can't wait to see the entrances for this after how he after what he did to Cody.
Our blood. Oh yeah.
All right, we got Roman Reigns, the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, Sami Zayn, and CM Punk with Paul Heyman versus the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Bronson Reed. I'm going to let you take away, Maddie, of where you want to start talking about this.
I've got so much here I need to talk about. As you say, we'll start at the entrances alone. But is Roman going to hold himself back and come out first, or as I'm robbing a line off our good friend Michael Hamflett, like he was texting me about this and mentioned it on one of his podcasts, and I didn't even think about this. Just having a camera on that little cage at the top of the entranceway, seeing all the guys like interacting there and what if they're going to stare each other out, what's going on? That's just intriguing as the match, Steph. Like, there's just so much going on with these stories and the characters that honestly, like, you got to start there at the entrances and the little cage, and then you've got all the stuff in them. Who starts the match? Like, does Jay go in there? Does Roman put himself in there first? I can't see that personally, but does he take it again and go, I'm going to leave from the front and show everybody how it's done type of thing? So there's just all that stuff going on, like, which is unbelievable. But even the build-up, Steph, sorry to go backwards there, but okay. I love the stuff where, like, Bronson Reed, he just looks, the aesthetic, he just looks, fits like a hand in a glove with the new Bloodline. Doesn't look out of place at all. It's just the stuff with the red herring with Seth as well. Obviously, Bronson Reed's gone in there, and everyone assumed, especially off the tape Raw, that Seth was going to be the fifth guy. I love that so much. And because I was thinking, even like, why would Seth, even for Bronson Reed being in there, team with Roman? And I'm so glad he hasn't at all. So even that side of it is unbelievable, which ties into when CM Punk has took Seth's spot, even though he said no. Seth will still hate that because it's CM Punk. It's great, and I'm fully expecting him to get involved in this match as well. And I'm flip-flopping all over the place there because I'm so excited about this match. Like, honestly, I hope it's on for like an hour and a half with all the entrances and everything about it and the post-match. Who's going to come out? Seth, The Rock. This is what it's about, this pay-per-view. This is just should be its own pay-per-view on its own, this match.
So I like that you think Bronson Reed fits in. I do think he fits it, and I'm glad he's got it because I thought that there was a danger that he would like drop down the card after all the great stuff that they did with him. I feel like it was interesting that they used him because there are a ton of family members and ones that we've like heard that are signed, like people like Higaleo or what's the other ones? And it's like these people feel like they're never coming. And then like you have an open spot and then it goes to Bronson Reed, which feels like a bit of a shock, but he does absolutely fit in, and he is such a like dominant wrestler and like so unique too that he's because he is very different from Jacob as well, but it's great that they've got like two big guys.
That's the best tag team we never knew anyone wanted. Like when they're on screen together, and I've just got visions in this match. Like I can, Jake, remember when Jacob climbed the cage when Roman come back during the Cody and Solo? Jacob's going to do something off the cage. Absolutely. And I'm just thinking, is Bronson Reed going to pay homage to Rikishi? Remember the splash he done to Val Venus? I'm thinking Tsunami off the top of the cage. I'm just thinking crazy spots here. Like, I'm so excited for this.
And I think, I can feel like maybe Sami Zayn will start it just because I think he's like someone that one, like he can go, like he's
of course
stamina. And then also it would be a good kind of him proving himself thing type two, you know, which has always been his thing because he's not a member of the family, you know, at all. But I loved CM Punk in this. I wouldn't have been as happy with Seth. Like no offense to Seth, but he's just someone that doesn't excite me. And Paul Heyman returning like that. It was SmackDown, right? Not a Raw where Heyman asked Punk for a favor, and told him to like get away from
Solo. Take him with him when he was
That was so. That was my favorite WWE like SmackDown or Raw of the year, my favorite like weekly like episode, because it was so great because we all know like the history between Heyman and Punk, and it was great to see them like put that on screen. And then of course later on Punk got murdered by Drew, which was
brilliant.
Like that I gasped, like that was such just so great. And then to see Heyman come back on SmackDown, like, firstly, why do you think Paul Heyman was wearing a t-shirt and not a suit? Because, you know, everything means something. Like, why was he dressed like that?
Well, this is it, Steph. This is the Easter eggs that they put in there. He had Solo Sikoa's, like, coloured t-shirt and the handkerchief on that Solo's there. So it's just putting that doubt in your mind. Obviously, the intrigue for this match is, if, like, they always put the little details like that in, don't they, with the Bloodline storyline. What's that? I mean... You don't, because it's Paul Heyman. He's always been that type of shady character for all his whole career, hasn't he? You know, so I think for the time being, I don't think they'll turn him heel straight away. I think you'll always have it in your mind. And when you think he's fully back with Roman, I think that's when you do the turn.
Yeah.
When Roman actually like trusts him again. Because even he was a bit doubtful, obviously, with CM Punk on screen there. So I think they'll milk that a little bit, maybe to the Rumble, and then you'll get the heel turn. But it will happen. Heyman will turn at some point, I think.
I don't trust him. I think that Roman as a babyface like doesn't really need him, you know, with talking anyway. But I just feel like there's something about Heyman where like if anyone, because I, you know, The Rock is running the show with the Bloodline.
Oh, 100%. He's pulling the strings behind the scenes.
If there's 100%. Anyone that could be like bought off with the history of Paul Heyman, it's Paul Heyman. So I don't fully trust him, but I did love how they set up in SmackDown. I love just like the framing of the shot of Paul Heyman outside the ropes in between like the two of them, like two of his guys, his like most successful guys, like looking at each other. Roman Reigns, of course, not trusting Punk. Why would anyone trust Punk anyway? It's just great. Like it's going to be very interesting to watch the dynamic between Roman and Punk, like on screen, how they work things in the match, because when Punk, you know, left, Roman was the guy in the Shield. Like this is a totally different Roman Reigns that Punk has come back to. And I think if you even look at, you know, what happened to Bad Blood and stuff, a lot of the talk, was about who would main event, and you know, the Roman's got all this stuff going on, and you just know like there's a little bit of a power struggle, I think, in real life. And it will just be interesting to see like how they portray different things, like who gets to go in there as the, you know, like the final guy, like the big pop guy. That it's intriguing in and out of kayfabe as well, which I absolutely love.
But that just goes back to the point of them two in the little cage. Honestly, a pamphlet again, just wanted to say that there should be a camera. There obviously will be a camera. They should just focus on that split screen, because that'll be so intriguing as well. As you say, who's going to be that last entrant? Like, who's the captain? Roman will think he's going to lead this match to put him in. Is he going to say, yeah, Punk, you get in there second? Is Punk going to say, yeah? Or is he going to say, no, no, no? So that makes him look half a heel then. So there's so much in this match there, honestly. Even from, like, the Solo Sikoa stuff, his story in this match.
Yeah.
Every character in this match has got a story going in. And once again, we'll have a story coming out of it. You'll have more questions than answers at the end of the show. That's why it's the best, Steph. That's why it's so good, this entire story. And Punk, as you say, has just added that extra bit of gasoline to the fire, which is just unbelievable.
So you said that you think Seth is going to get involved?
Yeah, I think Seth will come down here. And what he said on a Raw a couple of weeks ago was, like, next time I'm in the ring with Roman Reigns, I'm going to stomp his head to the mat. I think he'll do that one. He'll be torn between, like, Punk and Roman. I've got that visual of them both down, Seth coming in. Because obviously Bronson Reed will be on top and he'll take him out. And then you'll see if the camera will pan and you'll have Punk down and Roman. And I think Seth will be looking at, like, who he's going to stomp. And he might choose Roman just because he wants to get back after WrestleMania. Once again, the intrigue of what's going to happen. It's so much stuff you can do here. So much.
Do you think we see any other run-ins, like Owens or...
No, I think they'll keep it. I think he'll keep with Cody for the time being. I don't think he'll start, like, ticking off Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins yet, or other people, like, who's aligned themselves with like Punk with the bloodline. But I think we do get a final boss appearance, Steph, after the match.
Right. Do we get the final boss?
Have you seen his latest Instagram post where he's officially wrapped up on Moana 2? He's like, we're all done. I'm going home to sleep properly. I haven't slept in 6 months. He's definitely getting on the jet. He's there in Vancouver for me.
Does he speak? Because him coming out at the end of Bad Blood was awesome. And I think quite a few people thought that wouldn't happen because it's not like a big five, but he did it, but he didn't talk. And then people didn't like that he didn't talk. And then he seemed confused by that. And then he had to talk on Instagram.
Yeah. That's typical Dwayne for you, the final boss. But I do think this time, I enjoyed it because it's just, you know, you're seeing his presence on screen, that, like, he's watching over this. It's, you know, we all know he's going to be involved, you know, especially when it's on Netflix going in Rumble Mania season, he'll be more involved there. But I think it starts at Survivor Series, Steph. Yeah, I think there'd be a significant development, whether he gets the mic, like, reveals he's behind Solo. If Eamon does turn this quick, you know, he's behind all that. So if he does turn up, I think it'll be significant, more significant this time.
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing to remember, that usually if we were talking about Survivor Series, we would be saying that, like, you know, we're on the road to WrestleMania because the Royal Rumble's not far. But I think right now in 2024, what we're really on the road to is WWE moving to Netflix. And I think that's a huge deal, that it's going to be all guns blazing and Dwayne is going to be fucking massive for that.
Yeah.
So that really does make sense that here he kind of, like, we get something more from him, something more about, like, what he's actually doing, like, what his actual intentions are. I still feel like some of the story they're telling is that Solo Sikoa is kind of incompetent. And
to be fair, Steph, he's lent into it, even as a character. He's more like fun, he's more goofy the past few weeks, and he looks like he's enjoying himself as well now, which is good to see. But all that's going to be part of the story of, like, you know, Rock will say he's pushed him, you know, as he wasn't really ready for the role, but he's the one really who's like the tribal chief kind of thing. That's what will all come out and stuff like that. It'll just be, I can't wait, Steph. I really have got it. I'm not doing a Dwayne tribute, but I've got the goosebumps and the hair stand on my arms. I just can't wait to see it.
Can you see Rock getting that Ula Fala off?
I can just see Solo just passing it over to him. And, like, Roman's face is just going to be, after Rock acknowledged Roman earlier on in the year as his tribal chief. Steph, I'm all in for this. I live for it. I live for any moment like that. Like, I just can't wait.
Well, we need to predict the winners. And I want you not just to tell me the winner, like who pins who, like how do you think the closing couple of minutes of this match are going to play out as the Bloodline expert?
like, this is, as I say, we're going to get so many spots in this. As I say, we're going to get something off the top from either Jacob and or Bronson Reed. I can see the cage. I can see Jacob doing, like, homage to Amargan and Bobby Lashley. Remember that spot where Jacob might, like, dive and miss and go right through the cage? I can just see so much chaos in this match. Mm-hmm. Bodies everywhere. But I can just see Roman Reigns standing on top of them after taking the pinfall of Crown Jewel. And this isn't just me fanboying out here. I can see him getting a win back. Maybe not on Solo, maybe on like one of the with the Tongans, Lower or Tama Tonga. Mm-hmm. But I can see that, and then we'll have all the shenanigans, as I say, after the match with Rock and Solo getting the heat back. But I think Roman gets the pin in this one here, Steph.
Roman pins an underling, and then we see Dwayne. That's your prediction?
That's my prediction, yeah. That's my prediction. What about yourself?
I'm going to predict that the heels win.
Okay.
And I'm going to predict that because I feel like Roman, I feel like the face side are just, because it's a multi-man match, because it's a team match, I think part of the story is like the distrust that still like prevails among everyone. Like, and Roman, you know, he... How can he really feel like, you know, very good about everyone when all the stuff that he's, you know, that he's done, he's like...
And to be fair, Steph, if we were looking into the Roman character, sorry to cut you off there, it's like, at Bad Blood, he was with Cody, who's like on his level now in kayfabe, and he needed Jimmy to help him.
Yeah.
At that match. And then Crown Jewel, when it was like Jay, Jimmy and Roman, he got beat. So he's on a bit of a slump since WrestleMania still, really, after obviously losing at WrestleMania. So that's where that could come in. I think he'll get the pin. But that could play into that his character arc where he's still on, he hasn't got the confidence, especially because Phil's like kind of there with Heyman as well. So yeah, that's a good shout.
That's what I think about like Punk too. He not only is he not going to trust Punk, but I think it's also the idea of like, if you were on top, you were like king, you were like untouchable, and now it's like humbling yourself to have to accept help and have to accept someone like CM Punk, accept them as like part of your team, and the idea of like who, you know, actually is the leader, who has like claim to that, and Paul Heyman's kind of meddling in there. Like, I don't think Heyman will turn here, but as we spoke about, I'm not sure like we can trust him. And like just everything with, you know, all the feelings towards Sami Zayn too. And like, is Sami Zayn going to trust CM Punk?
So much, Steph. There's so, honestly, there's so much that can go on. But also as well, I like the fact at Bad Blood, when it was Cody and Roman, where they obviously they teased it before and can they get along? But on the night, there was no seeds of like dissension. It was all fine. This might be the complete opposite. Sorry, as my mic takes a tumble. This might be the complete opposite with CM Punk, which will play into the story. Like, well, Cody was a good guy after all this time, even though we've had our beef, but you're not. So I can see that. As I say though, Steph, I don't think any of us might be right here because there's so much you can do.
I know.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, while I can say all that, it's harder for me to like actually predict the finish. I wonder if maybe they want to give it to Solo, but in a way where like Solo hasn't actually done anything together. He just, you know, gets the pin. Like if you have Bronson Reed and Jacob Fatu like doing a ton of tsunamis, and then Solo just takes the pin because, you know, he's the leader. But who would he put the pin on? I don't see Roman taking another pin again. I don't see CM Punk.
No chance.
Pin CM Punk. I see maybe like sacrificial lamb Sami Zayn because he is just
Jimmy?
A guy that can take pins.
He's like the obvious guy as well, Jimmy, isn't he? He's been taking pinfalls for the best part of 4 years now. So another one more on Big Jim. But yeah, Jay won't see that. Jay's being protected there well as well. So I think he won't take the pin. But
yeah, I totally agree that The Rock is turning up. And this, I think, is where we just like turn on the gas and we start going to the Netflix era, because I'm very excited for the Netflix era. I think it's gonna be a real game changer, even more than people have like predicted or speculated about. I think it's gonna be we're in for a wild ride with Netflix behind WWE and with Dwayne. you know, behind it too. It's going to be crazy. And I think this is where, like, we start building towards that era.
And especially with Cody and KO's title match been announced for Saturday night's main event, that might be a show where the Bloodline's not featured. So you want to get this in now to set it off on SmackDown. Ride through Saturday night's main event, because KO and Cody, we've got to mention how good that storyline's been, and I can't wait for that match. You know, it's not on Survivor Series, but you can take care of that with that, and then we can look ahead to Netflix, as you say, and just completely get on the road to the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think it's great. Like, I do have to commend Triple H for the fact that Cody's not on this show. Not, and love Cody, but Triple H has shown the restraint of, like, not, like, we don't have to throw every title match on the card, everything. So Cody having a night off where we can just be talking about the Bloodline stuff and Punk and everything when it comes to the main. I'm sure you have something to say about Cody.
Even if he was on this show, Steph, we'd still be talking about the Bloodline. We'd still be talking about Roman Reigns, and we still would be talking about CM Punk, to be fair.
That is, I mean, with me and you talking, it's definitely going to be more talk about Roman and Punk than anyone else. Like, no one else.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Well, Maddie, thank you so much for joining me. And I want you to tell everyone where they can hear more of you and more of your Roman love, your WWE takes, everything, and where they can follow you. Like, do all your plugs.
Once again, Steph, I'm not the greatest at it, at chilling myself, but I'm over at Grapple with the lads there, and we do, you know, we talk about the lot. We've got Spotlight every week on YouTube and wherever you can get your podcast, and that's where we talk about the latest news across the whole of the wrestling world. And then we've got our Patreon, patreon.com/grapple, where we do talk more retro stuff, you know, and we have our Kings of the Mountain that give us shows, you know, some good stuff, some not, I wouldn't say not so good, but interesting choices, which is always great to go back and open our minds and see stuff we've never seen, which is what it's all about. There's always stuff out there that you can dive into that you're not familiar with. And yeah, I don't know about yourself. So, have you officially, like, joined the Blue Sky Club like everyone else?
I have, but I'm trying to do it like low-key, which I know sounds like kind of stupid, but I haven't been like promoting it on my ex or anything, because I'm kind of enjoying not having people say things to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah it's hard though, Steph, because you can't really, like, your handle, I don't know how to change it, it's quite long how to say it, and it's one of them where I did put a tweet out saying, an X out, whatever we call it these days, of saying I'm officially gone now. But I've been posting on there still. I just can't let go. I don't know why. So negative still. But it's a good news source that I'm just automatically going to go. So it's going to take time, isn't it? But you can get me on the X at Matthew Edwards 86 as well. And there's other stuff I do, Steph, like as someone in the chat there, Tom's put it. I do with Andy Ogden, there's a Graps and GCP podcast network. I'm on a show there called Muck, where we talk about some of the worst stuff in wrestling history as well, Steph. So I kind of go across the board from good to bad. I love the business.
A good thing you do as well, you do a Bret Hart show. Retro.
That's on the Grapple Network, with Gareth, where we do each month we talk about two of Bret Hart's matches. One's a more familiar match from a pay-per-view, and another one's more of a hidden gem from like a TV or a house show or a fan cam, whatever we can get the footage from. And we just talk our love of Bret the Hitman Hart for an hour and a half each month, Steph. What's not to love about that?
I know. One other thing that I'll plug for you too is the Hall of Fame Grapple show that you guys did. Because that show was awesome. It's come out in two parts over on Grapple. And I watched the whole thing live. It took me through my entire work shift. But it was so great. And it's the first, like, Grapple Hall of Fame. So what the guys do is, like, they had like nominees that they all talk about, then they could pick some wild cards, and, like, spoiler, if you love Roman Reigns too, you have to listen to Maddie discuss Roman Reigns's credentials. But also, like, all the kind of, I don't want to spoil who goes in, but, like, all the greats you can think of are spoken about on this podcast, like Steve, who we previously mentioned too. But you guys did such a great job on that show. And I love any time I hear you advocate for Roman Reigns. And I especially love it when you do it with Benno, and Benno can talk about Cody. And so you guys on Fightful heard Benno last week doing the full gear preview for me. So Maddie and Benno love to go head to head.
Oh yeah,
all things bloodline related. So
well, Steph, it's, as you say there, like it's turning from Cody and Roman. It's going to turn into CM Punk and Roman Cook the next few weeks as well, isn't it? With me and Benno, so it'll always go on. But no, appreciate that. Them kind words there, Steph. But that's the thing. What was funny, and I haven't really spoke to Benno on air about this, is that like, we always have the Roman Reigns debate, as you say, and it come from him not going in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame last year. So we've done our own Hall of Fame, which, once again, I'm not going to spoil whether he gets in or not. But then the day after that dropped, he actually got into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame this year. And we haven't even spoke about that yet. So it just shows you how it works. Brilliant.
I mean, any Hall of Fame without Punk in it's a bit of a sham.
Love it.
Well, Maddie, thank you so much. And I hope you have a great time watching Survivor Series.
No, Steph, honestly, like, thank you so much for having me on. Like, here, it's been an absolute pleasure and honor to be on here, Steph. Thank you again, honestly, for the invite. I've loved it so
You're
much.
You're welcome. I did it for the Fightful viewers because I want them to be introduced to just your, like, great love and passion and optimism for everything Fed and everything Roman. It's so great. And every time I listen to you on a show, it just, even if I'm listening to you talk about things I don't like when you did a freaking Randy Orton retrospective, I was like, I just like how much Maddie enjoys this. It warms my
heart. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you guys for watching. And yeah, you can go find me on, I'll plug my Blue Sky, though when I did that last week, it led to bother. But my Blue Sky is at Stephanie M. Chase, which is what my X is, which is what my Instagram is. You can find me on Substack. Look for Stephanie Chase there, where I write about wrestling. And you can find me over on YouTube as well, too, Stephanie Chase Wrestling. I haven't done a video in maybe about 2 weeks, but that's because I've been moving all over the world. And right now I'm in Chicago, but I'll be very soon back in Ireland and getting set up to do more video stuff as well. But yeah, guys, thank you so much. Don't forget our sponsor, betonline.ag. Thank you again, Maddie. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone watching.
Goodbye.
Bye.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise-ready AI.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift-giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.